And now a word from the sponsor. I don't know about you, but I have a distinct memory of when I was a child in Sunday school and was always the shepherd, never Joseph and never the king. It was good to see, rather than the traditional story, the meeting of Mary with the very pregnant Elizabeth. And I just want to focus briefly in a short homily on the gospel reading that we just had enacted before us, particularly the words of St. Luke chapter 1 verse 42, Elizabeth's greeting to Mary. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. These words, of course, are part of the Hail Mary, which we say in our prayers. And today, the focus for this last Sunday of Advent is the Virgin Mary. The gospel we heard and saw enacted is the story known as the Visitation, which is kept in the calendar of the Church on May the 31st as an annual commemoration. The story is rather unusual. It's not something we traditionally associate with the Nativity, but it is an integral part of the birth of Jesus and of the Incarnation story. And to understand this, we need to look perhaps at the whole story. Elizabeth and Mary were cousins. Elizabeth was a much older woman, and so was her husband Zechariah. In fact, St. Luke says in chapter 1, verse 7, Elizabeth was barren and both were advanced in years, suggesting and implying that they could have no children. One day, her husband Zechariah was performing his rites as a priest in the temple, at the altar of incense, in fact, when the archangel Gabriel appeared to him, the same archangel who appeared to Mary some 6 months later. And he told Zechariah that his wife Elizabeth was going to conceive and bear a son. And Zechariah did not believe it. He knew they were perhaps too old to have children, and the whole thing must have been perhaps something out of his imagination. Because of his lack of faith, the archangel Gabriel struck him dumb, and he did not speak again until the day when their son was named on the eighth day after his birth and circumcised in the temple. That was a rather amazing event, because he had been dumb for 9 months, and when they came to name the child, they wanted to name him Zechariah after his father, and Elizabeth said he was to be called John. So they motioned to Zechariah to ask him his opinion, and he wrote on a tablet, "His name is John." And immediately his speech returned. So Zechariah is an example of a person who would not believe, who had no faith in what the archangel promised, and whose faith was restored. And of course the son was John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ. And so now we see the connection. The archangel Gabriel appears to these two women, Elizabeth and Mary, and tells them of amazing conceptions they are to have. And their children are unusual: John the Baptist, the forerunner, and Jesus the Messiah. We know about the story of Gabriel and Mary. He tells her she is to conceive and bear a son. And she, being a teenage virgin girl, says, "How can this be?" And Gabriel goes on to explain that it is through the Holy Spirit. And Mary then changes from one of little faith to one of faith, a woman of faith, and says, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And so we have the contrast between Mary, who is the woman of faith, and Zechariah, who doubts. And then, as a sign that all things are possible with God, Gabriel tells Mary to look at her cousin Elizabeth. She is now 6 months pregnant, as we saw. And she was called barren by her gossiping neighbours. With God, all things are possible. And perhaps you and I know that. So then we come to today's story. Mary goes off to see Elizabeth. And upon Mary's arrival, St. Luke says, the babies in the womb leapt for joy. John, 3 months before his birth, 6 months into the pregnancy, recognizes Jesus, newly conceived, that very weekend, we think, in the womb of Mary. Here is the Holy Spirit doing an incredible thing, making these babies leap for joy in their mother's wombs. And Elizabeth is also inspired by the Holy Spirit and says to Mary, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And then she says why Mary is blessed. She says, blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. You see, Elizabeth could see the difference between her husband, Zechariah, he of little faith, and the contrast to Mary, who had faith enough to believe that what was promised to her by the Lord would happen. Mary is the woman of faith. She was ready to embrace God's will and to trust in him no matter the difficulties and how difficult it must have seemed to her. In fact, I am sure Mary had doubts, not just then, but along the way. She certainly would not have understood everything. Even later on, Jesus would be a bit of a mystery. Do you remember that incident when Jesus was 12 and Mary and Joseph brought him to Jerusalem to do the ceremonial act in the temple? And when they left, they forgot about him. Their group was so large. And 3 days later, they returned looking for him and found him in the temple at 12 years of age, talking to the authorities, the scribes and the Pharisees, talking about things of God. And they, being good parents, naturally were concerned and expressed their exasperation, anxiety, as I'm sure all of you have, perhaps when you've been shopping in Mission Valley and the kids go off looking for toys and you're not too kind to them when you find them. So we can understand Mary and Joseph being a little exasperated. And what's the response they get from their 12-year-old son? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house? How strange is that? Even with all that Mary knew about Jesus, it must have seemed to her a strange thing to say. So when we look at Mary, we see that she did not find being a disciple, as we are also called to be, plain sailing, or that she had all the answers, even though she had been told more than anyone else. Isn't that just like us? Life is not plain sailing. We don't always know the answers, and often we are in situations where we are more than perplexed. We are sometimes even angry. And yet, she followed God's will, and every question was answered. She didn't follow God's will because she got the answers, but in faith, she launched out into the deep. And she did not pretend that there were no doubts or problems. But this one thing she did know. God has asked her to take part in some great mysterious enterprise. And she trusts that in the end, things will turn out okay. Wouldn't we like to have that sort of faith? That is why Mary is above all a model of discipleship for all Christian people, and why she is called Mother of the Church, because she is both an example to us and a sign of what the Church must be, of what we are all called to be. This visitation has much to teach us, particularly about the importance of family and friends, if we need to be reminded of that at Christmas, but it's good to have the example of Mary and Elizabeth to remind us of the value and the beauty of our families and our friends. And of course, the story has a final sign for us. It finishes with the Magnificat, that great song which Mary sang and which the church says every day at evening prayer, that great song of praise from Mary. And so we too, as disciples, are called to also sing a song of praise to God, and especially this week. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.